10 minutes of because of our program, we ended up delaying. There was a committee to sit before us early this morning, and therefore they delayed all our programs. We apologize for that, and also you are most welcome. Thank you for understanding. Honourable members, this meeting is official. Is there an apology, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Chair. I did receive the apologies from Honourable McCarthy, Chair Zin Momohak.
Members, I think you have got an agenda in front of you. Can you adopt the agenda, please? Or any addition? Thank you.
I move the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you very much. Is there any second about that? Yes, second. Thank you very much, honorable members. Honorable members, this meeting is about the executive undertakings. We are overseeing the and scrutinizing the implementation of progress reports on executive undertakings made by the Minister of Police during question and answer session of the NSOP on the 23rd of February 2016. Without delay, we will hand over to the meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I hope we will still work within the limited time. Our program tells us that we start 9:30. So we are having other meetings. The worst one is a concurrence or is a parallel running of portfolio and select committee. As you're sitting here, portfolio committee is running. It does give us a little bit of a headache. Of dealing with this. We'll try. We hope the next meeting we will be allowed to go where we are meeting the president, but we believe we can surrender the meeting that runs concurrent with this one, but the next meeting we cannot. So for that we will agree with you that the generals here General Nelson will lead us in terms of the presentation of the commitment that I made. How far have we gone? And if not, why not? No, thanks.
About you, General.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Minister, and Honorable Members. The presentation especially deals with.
Chairperson, can we just have introductions, please? Introductions so that we know who's addressing us. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Dumisane Kumbi. I'm the chairperson of the Petition and Executive Undertakings.
My name is James Mtetwa, a member of this committee. And the whip.
Chemoya George, member of the committee.
Morning, Bronwyn Engelbrecht, representing Gauteng.
Good morning, member of the committee.
And Minister, maybe you can introduce your delegation. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, and everybody in the House. I am Renato Salero, and I'm a liaison officer in the Ministry of Police.
Good morning, Chair, and members. My name is Smokey, and I'm a member of the Ministry of Police. Madam Chair, honorable members, good morning. My name is Timosenko Swedman Amani, speak about Brazil to the Minister of Police.
Peggy Peggy is my name. I'm employed, temporarily employed as an executive authority of the South African Police.
Morning, Chairperson. I'm the acting Chief Financial Officer for the Department of Police.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I am the Divisional Commissioner for Technology Management Services, Lieutenant General Masini.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Minister. Good morning, Honorable Members. I'm Lieutenant General Mkwena, Divisional Commissioner, Supply Chain Management.
Thank you. I think we can proceed, General.
Thank you, Chairperson. The presentation essentially deals with two parts. The one is the commitment at the level of reviewing the resource allocation guide, and the second part deals with the safety and security requirements and progress at Nkobo Police Station. And then also we will touch on some of the capital works and the progress in terms of that. So when one look at the formula for the redistribution of resources in the department considered the SAP resource management strategy with a migration of resources from the strategic framework to local level. Local policing framework would be incorporated. And coming back from the department's strategic planning session last week, this particular matter forms the integral part now of resource planning and distribution, the compilation of an integrated resource management strategy dealing with the physical, human, and financial resources in an integrated fashion. Together with that, we will be moving towards the development of a resource matrix, where we will be linking the strategy, the operational priorities, then with the resources required on local level. So this will then provide for a platform where we can determine then the resource requirements, linking with the legislative and policy implementation framework. The National Crime Combating Strategy, together with the National Crime Combating Forum and the alignment in terms of the strategy, will then allow for the development of this matrix and the synergy between the strategy in terms of the mandate specification going forward. So this will then allow the department then to do a resource requirement for policing based on the policing method, and perhaps most important, is cost effectiveness and cost efficiency in terms of rendering a police service. Now then one should look on the next slide on page 4. We look at the resource demand creation. What do we imply in terms of that, honorable members? Is we're looking at the technology user requirements for policing, the modus operandi for policing, and what resources are required in terms of that approach. The structural requirements as a prerequisite for organizational strategy, taking into account that almost 75% of the department's budget is spent on compensation of employees. In other words, the input cost in terms of the human resources, those are significant factors in terms of this. So if you want to reprioritize and move resources to achieve a particular impact in terms of the organizational objectives, you need the resource, the human resource element. Linked to that then, the strategy in terms of the performance requirements. Then the distribution criteria, what do we say if we say there should be a strategic deployment of resources and what have we done? So we look at the budget formula. What comprises the criteria for allocation, distribution, costing the total allocation, and then the ratio analysis in terms of your personnel, your vehicle, your operational day-to-day requirements in order to execute policing effectively. So the personnel provision distribution criteria is of importance. You get three types of of your police stations A, B, C1 and C2, where you get the small, medium and then your larger types of police stations in terms of a particular criteria, and that informs then your distribution and capacitation requirements in terms of policing. So then also of importance, we need to introduce a performance management system to look at the input with output, and how do you measure then the impact of that. So you need to have a performance structure, a performance system, and then to compare your input with the output to see whether you achieve that. So it's a measurement criteria, and it's based on performance. On page 5, honorable members, we say that the resource requirement for policy and legislative implementation needs to go hand in hand. In terms of that, you get your station profile development. So there needs to be resource flexibility to give the station commander then some sort of a mechanism in order to manage the station optimally and effectively. So I've referred to earlier in the slide the development of a resource matrix. Now what do we say? If we say a resource matrix development, and what will we achieve with that? What we say is, first of all, you need the resource management strategy, as I've indicated, your personnel, your physical and your human and finance resources, and to unpack the activities contained in the National Crime Combating Strategy, to say these strategies, unpack them in terms of functions, and then link them to a specific costed National Crime Combating Forum integrated approach, in order then to determine what the cost associated with that will be. So therefore, that will inform the resource distribution and allocation of these resources, the physical, how many vehicles per personnel, the type of vehicles, etc. And then the costing of unfunded mandates. The department gets exposed to mandates of an operational nature that's unforeseen, that's unplanned for. And those activities also need to be provided for in terms of contingency arrangement. Of importance to also take into account the affordability framework, and then appropriation reconciliation. So that needs to tie back into the estimate for national expenditure, categorized in terms of the functions, in terms of the objectives, what do we want to achieve, and what are the goods and services then required in order to achieve those objectives. And then the final, the allocation of these resources. On page 6, Chairperson, I will not go into detail. This slide essentially say that we have the national planning framework that determines your medium-term expenditure framework. There's a process that unfolds where we need to do the costing, and it goes then through our cluster, the peace and security cluster, where we as a collective then determine what is required and what are the budget requirements in terms of that. On page 7, Chairperson, just to indicate to you also that there are technical forums where from the National Treasury side, they also evaluate these resource requirements. And then they make recommendations to the medium-term expenditure committee, and then eventually that informs the decisions of the Ministers' Committee on the budget in order to allow for the allocation of funding to the department. Then on page 8, Chairperson, once these allocations now being informed and costed from the lowest level, we build up these requirements for policing in terms of this formula and resource matrix from a local level. It builds up in order to then determine how much needs to be allocated and appropriated in the estimates of national expenditure. And that has been linked to the National Development Plan outcomes of government, and essentially then outcome 3 is in terms of police, the sub-outcomes, the strategic priorities embedded in the strategic plan, our annual performance plan, the state of the national address, and key ministerial priorities that the minister will then allude to when he then delivers his budget to the parliament. Then on page 9, honorable chairperson, the department, as I've indicated, are essentially driven by the compensation, and we need to manage that portion. Although it's 75% of the 94 billion rand allocation, essentially 75% is your compensation, but We do costing from zero in terms of the compensation budget to determine how much needs to be allocated, and then once we've done the resource allocation matrix model from station level, we will exactly know what the cost of policing and, according to the organizational structure, how much each one of these will cost. Then the resources being and funding allocation being resourced on local level, and to put them according to a particular framework that will allow for optimal policing being rendered. The International Commissioner then annually subsequent to that performs this apportioning of the allocation to determine how much each one of the cost centers, your provinces, your stations, your components will get in terms of resource allocation. And I think, Chairperson, to conclude on this on page 10, just to summarize that the main aspects that are considered to arrive at these operational expenditures for your divisions and provinces include your strategic priorities, your baseline operational expenditure being analyzed, the specific request, there might be ad hoc requirements for policing based on the policing demands and service delivery requirements on the procurement, and then that will arrive in and inform the approach, and then essentially the implementation framework will commence. So that's the approach that we are following, and the first phase of that will commence with the rationalization of the organizational structure, and that will allow then for the migration of human resources to local level. And once that has been in place, then we can align then the physical resources with that approach. Then, Chairperson, if you allow me, I'll go to the second part of the presentation dealing with the closed circuit television CCTV project at Mkopo Police Station. The project was initiated on 1 June 2018. 25 cameras were installed at strategic areas in and around the station. Cameras are monitored on a 42 monitor as well as a personal computer screen, and a laptop for remote viewing when network capacity is upgrading, as well as the temporary community safety service center. And the project was concluded on June 2018. Now, this allows also for the station commander to have remote access, so he can, once he locked onto the system, he doesn't need to have to be at the police station, and he can have the visibility of the police station in terms of this technology to monitor the movement at the station. Then water and electricity is being provided at the station. There's a specific issue that was raised there. And then, Chairperson, just the last part of the presentation, just to deal with the progress and the status of police facilities for 2017-2018. Essentially, there are four police stations that are earmarked for opening in this financial year in the Northwest Maritsane in October-November this year, in Mpumalanga Kwamshuwa in October, Eastern Cape Solile, and in also in the Eastern Cape Kwasa, also in October-November this year they will be opening. If one look at the other smaller projects in terms of the accessibility for disabled persons, upgrading of police staff, one will note that in terms of the execution of the disability patients with disability requirements were all attended to in the previous financial year 17-18, as well as the upgrading of cells, and then we indicate the target for this financial year for cell upgrading 4, 19 for disabilities, and the execution is 1, and then the anticipated completion being indicated. Just also a request to indicate in terms of the ratio of vehicles vis-a-vis personnel. The ratio of personnel to vehicles is 4.51, the national average, and it's the status as at the end of July is one vehicle to 4.07 individuals in the department's operational personnel. then the mobile community service centers, these mobile units that can be deployed based on the police in demand. In 2016-17, one mobile CSC unit issued. In the previous financial year, 14 were issued. And 2018-19, 15 chassis cabs planned for order, and then the distribution then to be determined in terms of how they should be allocated to the provinces. We have, for information purposes, attached the previous allocation and where they were allocated to, and the latest one will then also be allocated based on the current weight and the priority stations as per indication. So that concludes the presentation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, General. Honourable members.
Chairperson, thank you, and General, thank you for that very detailed discussion regarding the first undertaking done by the Minister. He went into a lot of detail about the background and in terms of the financial aspect and how you do that. However, you still haven't actually given us a reply to the undertaking taken by the Minister. And he said, reviewing the resource allocation, and you're talking about the first phase which still has to be done. Can you tell us exactly when will this be completed? I mean, this undertaking was 2016, that is 2 years ago. So I understand the whole budget that you have explained to us, but we want to know how far is the review of the allocation guide, and when will the first phase take place, and when will the completion date, estimated completion date. And then the minister's part of his undertaking was particularly looking at the difference between urban and rural areas. So can the General please explain to us what development has taken place to improve access, police access, in rural communities? Thank you, Chair.
My comment earlier was that my observation, it's not a racist comment, but my observation is that in most departments, the CFOs and the acting CFOs are white people. So I was asking that, do we as black, are we not capable to occupy that strategic office? Because if that strategic office is predominantly occupied by the minority, it flashes some issues. So I wanted to make it official, Honorable Minister, that you need to look into that. I think we have capable black people that can occupy strategic offices in our department. Nonetheless, let me go to the presentation that is before us of the executive undertaking. In your comment, sir, you did mention the prioritization of resources, mainly the human resource and your technological resources. And you did mention that in the minister's undertaking there were a specific identification of police stations specifically Benqobo and other rural police stations, where you need to dwell much into it in terms of prioritizing your resources. But the plan that you have given us, I don't know whether it's an ongoing plan. It's not an undertaking in a sense that implementation based on the time when the minister was doing the presentation and to date, you are still planning on doing things. So for me, I would say it means the department is not yet ready to come and give us a report on the undertaking. Because what I saw is the future things that will happen. So I would kindly request that we be provided with the report that is detailed, that will outline the undertaking that the minister has taken with time frames. And this will allow us to be able to measure the progress in terms of what needs to happen. And again, Minister, I want to ask you a question. I don't know, you'll pardon if it is, I will be out of order. But my understanding is that the department's main objective is to combat crime. And the plan and the budgeting that is provided for before us in general, Chair, doesn't have that thing that will tell us as a nation, as Parliament, that indeed these plans are advocating to crime combating. But your plans are more reactive. You are not having that thing that tells us that in the next 15 to 20 years, the crime rate in South Africa will be reduced with a significant percentage. Rather, you are reactive. When something happens, you plan on that. There's nothing that tells us that you are really focusing or advocating in at the end to be like crime-free. I know it's not possible, but at least below the 50% of the crime in the country. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable William. But you are not out of order. You are in order, but at the same time, we just need, I think the chairperson for security is here. That plan maybe can be submitted to him. But today we just for the undertaking that the minister promised, and I think the members they asked accordingly. Over to you, General.
No, I've got my own chair here. Yeah, overall, and then I've got my specific one. No, there is one issue I just want to take. It's a question of the financial chief executive. Our, as the police, is a young black man. As you heard, he's acting. But he's suspended because of ill doing, including his involvement with the VPS. So hold your horses then on that one. He's there, he's a permanent one, he's acting because the one was involved with the VPS. I'm sure everybody has heard of VPS. I hope when they are given... I hope when they're given responsibilities, they take their responsibilities serious. Yeah. So, or especially the young black and young women take their responsibilities serious. So I wanted to add to respond on that. The last question you have answered, we're hearing a specific directed response on this one. If the honourable member wants to that, we can talk, we can go to town. The job of the police, you have limited it very much. It's not just to combat. If you read your Constitution 205, subsection 3, it says it's to prevent, combat, investigate, and make sure that all inhabitants of South Africa are safe and enforce the law. So that's what the Constitution tells us. And from there, we expand it through the police legislation. There are a lot of plans that are there of prevention. There are a lot of plans that are there of combating. And even if you have passed that to investigate what you call reaction, which is a constitutional obligation that we still do it. So if the committee invites us to come with that, those plans, we're very happy to do so. Thanks.
Thank you. General?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and the Honorable Minister. I will take the questions as they were posed to us. The completion of the review of allocation guide, how far are we? We have started with the review of the allocation. However, we didn't implement the deployment yet to the lower levels. So we are still a consulting with the stakeholders in the SAPS before we can consult with the members who can be affected to be deployed at the lower levels to ensure that we capacitate the stations at both urban and rural. The CCTV cameras, yes, all the police stations will in future be installed with the CCTV cameras. However, we are working on a prioritized list of the police station. The prioritization was done by the provincial commissioners based on the threat that they are experiencing at all the police stations. So we'll be moving on a small scale until we finalize all the police stations. Currently what we are doing, we are in a process of ensuring that the requirements are there, and we are going to publish the contract for tender so that then the companies can be afforded a chance to tender with us and ensure that the first bunch of police stations that are prioritized in terms of the provincial commissioners are installed with the CCTV cameras. Thank you, Honorable Chair. The prioritization of resources, mainly human and technology, at identified police stations, including at Engobo and others. We have capacitated Engobo in terms of human resources, and that station, station commander's post as well, was upgraded. And all the strategic posts that were vacant at the police station, for an example, the crime prevention, that is the visible policing commander, as well as the human resource commander, were filled at that police station, and there were new constables who were sent as well at Engobo to beef up the capacity at Engobo to police the areas of Engobo. With the minister has already answered the implementation plan. The department's main objective, the combating of crime, the minister has already answered that one. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Oliphant. And
Chair, it's only one. I just wanted to understand the CCTV stories, how tight were they? Because our own policemen that we keep in office came. We know Martini, that is that is the reason we are here. So that is why I'm even the police in hell must not enter into. That is why I want to understand how tight will it be.
Thank you. Mama?
Mr. Chair, I'm not happy at all with the report back of the undertaking taken by the Minister of Police. This is more than 2 years later. We've been given no deadlines. We've been given absolutely no information regarding the resource allocation guide. All we've been told is that it started. I'm sorry, Chair, it's not acceptable at all. We need timelines. We need dates. I need to know when, where, how, and I want to know what the completion date is. We're sitting with places like the Western Cape, which is totally under-resourced in terms of police. We've got areas of high crime rates. We need this resource allocation guide. It should have been completed 2 years ago. It's absolutely shocking, and I'm very, 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 very disappointed and find it unacceptable.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. I think the executive undertaking when an executive authority makes an executive undertaking that is informed by the strategic planning of the department. Once the minister stood up in house and take the executive undertaking, that is informed by something. Unless the minister will do that for populist stunt. But if it is not of that, it must be informed. Now, my question was, or my comment was, the report before us, it's in a future tense. It means there is nothing concrete from the executive and from the department that informs the undertaking that was taken by the minister. And I request, Chair, that we say to the minister and the department, they must go draft a report with time frames, especially on the undertaking that the minister has done. There are so many things. One, in terms of prioritization, it is a plan. It's not a report. It's a plan that we will. But when you say, my department is going to build the police station, I'm just giving an example. It means there is a budget for that police station. It's an undertaking. When you come and give us a report, you will say, in terms of the building of the police station, the foundation has been laid and the walls will be up by June 2019 or June 2017. But here, the report is mostly on a plan, not an event that has happened. If I'm making sense. So I'm requesting that we must be privy. Maybe the manner in which we are writing to the department also as a committee is not clear. Because if it was clear, I think the report will come with concrete report to us. When you look into the verbatim information by the members and the response by the minister and take the report, they are two different things. The verbatim that doesn't speak to the report and the response of the minister doesn't speak to the report that is provided before us. So we need to find a way. It's not for the first time that this thing happens to
to the committee where the minister had to come and give us the update on the executive undertaking. Maybe if we can look into that regard, then we'll be, you will, re tla be really re kgona go tlhaloganyana rona le department. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson, I understand the structure of the NCOP, but the structure of the NCOP is more provincial. So that's why you find this emphasis. Let's start with this myth of Western Cape. I've been trying to explain this myth. I've been really trying to explain this myth. It's a myth. It's a myth. I've been trying to explain it time and again. I'm not going to be intimidated by your members here. They'll ask the question and we'll answer and they'll listen. We listen when they ask the questions. So she must learn that too. The Western Cape is part of the three troublesome provinces, Gauteng, KZN, and Western Cape. The most troublesome province in the country is Gauteng. 50% of the South African crime comes from Gauteng. There are specific cases of this kind of crime in that particular area. The major crime in Western Cape will be against terrorism and the murders in the African townships. That goes with a lot of environmental design. And Western Cape doesn't come close to that, to environmental design. You go to Kukulitu, you find people queuing for toilets from 4 in the morning to 8 in the morning. And in the process, they get raped, those women, and standing there, and nobody talks about those women raped because they are queuing for toilets. It's environmental design. Let's go now. At Makasa. Makasa, 2 Fridays back, we spotted 3 criminals. These criminals, they abandoned the car, and they ran on foot in the Makasa. We had to abandon the car because you can't drive in. That is environmental design that nobody speaks about to deal with the crime issues. So if people can begin crime, that's why the department is Department of Safety and Security. It goes with design. Our member was shot at C. Kailisha, C section or whatever, was shot under the camera that is 360 degrees, which would have caused us to arrest that person the next hour. For 8 years, that camera is not working. 8 years. It's not taking care of the camera to help us to deal with those things. It's environmental design. That is a major, major problem in Western Cape. And when they talk about it, nobody talks about that. Western Cape will be under-resourced like all other provinces. But for the last 3 months, we have brought 300 police pulled from other provinces in Western Cape alone with extra cars. Western Cape, here in the flats, including Hernemas, where we have to send more police to fight battles that are not theirs. It's a municipality battle there that are not building the houses, have put the racial line between the township and the town and all. But police must go and fight those. Nobody speaks about those battles. So when we speak about these things, let's talk about overall of these matters. So Western Cape, let me say, in the country, we agree that the ratio of the police to the population is got some understrength. Western Cape is not the worst of all the provinces. It's not true. It's not the worst. But let's sit down in Western Cape. The violence of
taxi violence that is witnessed, it's got nothing to do with police. It's got to do with the permits in the province. It's got to do with the design of the rents that the municipality must design. It's got to do with people not giving the people the space to trade and all that. So those are the police are fighting battles that are not theirs in Western Cape. So if we talk about Western Cape and all that we are not satisfied, let these governments. The MECs that we work with, they understand this thing. Plateau and Grant, I work with them very closely. Grant of Transport and Plateau of Police, including the Premier, that twice I visited with her to Herlemas. I work with them. They don't have this understanding. This understanding is separate from the actual and the reality that is happening in Western Cape. So I'll put that one there. I'll come to the second one of the Honorable, my special chair. I fully agree. Please tell us what do you want us to do when we give answers next time on specifics. So that not a high-level question, because we get a high-level answer. But to come to what you said that, usually, Honorable Member McQuaid, when there are two things, there are strategic plans and there are responses as you walk. It's not in the strategic plan that a mobile police station will be attacked. It's not. So it will be attacked and you have to respond to it as you go on with life. So you'll do things because it has come under attack and you need to respond now. We're not going to go to police, to your strategic plan, and you look at it and lie. We don't have a mobile that is being attacked here, so in the strategic plan, we're not going to deal with it. Hence, we'll put those cameras. We have put cameras there. Personally, I've taken a serious interest there. I've gone there and I found that we have put a intercom initially, that you see a small face, sometimes half a face of a person that is knocking there. We have fixed that. We have put cameras. We are not going to say how many. I'm sure somebody shouldn't say how many are these and where are they at the police station. But one other thing is that we have agreed to push the wall up, especially near the office of the station command. What we have done for now, we have put the electric fence on top of the wall that is there. One thing, as I'm saying, the governance is intergovernmental. One thing that we requested, there is a parking that is in front of the police station. We have requested that it must be re-demarcated so that only the police park there. The municipality hasn't helped us in dealing with that. So that any car that is not a police car that parks there, we immediately have an extra look at it while parking there where it's not supposed to park. So the story of Engobo is not finished. But beyond that, we come back to the Honorable Member. Our job and our vision is that all police stations must be IT adequate. Must be IT adequate, starting with those that are in a serious threat. One police station that is under serious threat in South Africa is Nyanga police station. Quite several of them in Western Cape. But if you go to KZN, there will be those stations, your Mlazi, your Mashu, Nanda, and all. If you go to Gauteng, there will be those, that is Zwelonke, Diepsloot, and all those places. So, as we speak, Honorable Member, we've got 30 stations that are brigadier stations now. We've taken a decision, we believe by the end of this year, will be all major general stations. We're pushing up the decision-making to the station levels. That's why we're moving from brigadiers to generals, so that there is an immediate and quick decision at the station level. But as they move with some resources, extra cars, extra members, and all that. But also, our planning is informed by stats, crime stats. It's population and crime stats. So where there are high crime, on that particular crime, we shift the resources trying to work on that. There is a general planning, but there are those things that everybody knows that was done dialectics. That dialectics, there are subjective and objective subjective and objective issues, that things you can do and some things that you respond to them. So that's how. But I will be happy to come back and talk about preventative measures, combative investigation, and how do we intend to create the safe situation. Some of the announcements, ending this point, are the announcement of the next budget. Some of these announcements. So you announce them now, but when the time comes next budget, and then you remember that you have made these announcements, and then you begin to cost or to fund those that you have costed on your previous budget. Thanks.
Thank you, General. Thank you very much, Minister.
Honourable Chair, thank you. I'd just like to remind the Minister that it was your own department, Minister, that gave us the percentages, I think about a month ago, of the under-resourcement in the Western Cape. So it's not a figment of my imagination. It's your own department. Saying that, I do realise the incredible challenges that the police work under and exceptionally challenges that you have as a department. But it still is a statement from your own department that's, I think if I remember correctly, 28% underfunded in the Western Cape, and it was the province with the highest unfunded vacancy.
Can I remember?
Then, Chairperson, can I just continue?
Pardon.
Chairperson, can I continue, please?
Please, ma'am. Please.
Can I just finish, please?
Please, ma'am. You are out of order now.
I'm Chairperson, fine. I'm not.
No.
Can I just continue, please? Because I have another question regarding the executive undertaking.
No, other member. Actually, we're here. You ask a good question, a relevant question, that the minister is here for an executive undertaking. Now we are just expanding that into the security and justice. That thing you ask when we are dealing with security and justice, then those questions will be relevant to the minister. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, thank you. Can I just continue? In terms of the executive undertaking, in 2014, the Khayelitsha Commission of Inquiry said that the SAP's resource allocation model was irrational and flawed. That's 2014. So today we want to find out from the Minister how far is the resource allocation. We haven't been given the answers to that. And we request, please, Chair, that we get the answers to the resource allocation, when's it being done, when are the timelines being done, and the Minister can come back and give us a proper, correct answer to that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think all Honourable Willie have covered that, saying that the Minister, the Department can submit. Also, the Minister admitted that he will come again if there is a need of coming back. Thank you, Minister.
This commission, she speaks about, is a provincial commission. It's not a national commission. And police is a national competence. It's not a provincial competence. If you hire your own commissioner, we satisfy you, not the national approach. We are a national competence that we've got a helicopter eye view. And we don't employ provincial commissioners. If you employ a provincial commissioner and satisfies you, it's your own daba. Our daba is to deal with the national, of which that commissioner we do not agree with.
Thank you, Minister. Let me thank you again, Minister, for spending your time with us, answering questions. We appreciate that. Thank you very much. This part of the meeting. Okay, thank you. We can resume, Minister. Please, sorry for delaying you. I know you are very busy. Portfolio committee. Thank you very much. Economic Development. Yes.
We appreciate the opportunity that you have given us to share a little bit of progress on our work that we have promised to do, and in the commitments we made, we did indicate that we're working with provinces. And we assist them on their MTSF, aligning the international. And at that particular time, we're beginning to start focusing on identifying whether their programs align with the resources, and also whether there are areas where we may need to come in and assist them to identify specific areas where they can get money from DFIs and everywhere else. So we have picked up certain key special focus that we'll be entering on to anchor on identifying things that were commitment related to the 9-point plan. And you realize that you pick out specific ones on specific provinces. The bump where we said we'll go on agri parks and check what progress is made there in terms of employment. Mm-hmm. And also said that we'll go to the Eastern Cape, and in the Eastern Cape, together with other coastal provinces, we'll be looking at the aspect of oceans economy. And we then said that we'll go through the Free State, and in the Free State we'll be looking at the aspects of the area of beef and poultry. And we said in KZN, we'll then look at the anchor, our focus on the TA, on the areas of agroponics, and just to see what experiences that we can speak out of there, so that when we look at the basic we have also said that we will go to the Northwest, and we look at the program that we're running there on small dot. So we then said that Mpumalanga will just be coming on and looking at a very lucrative project that was run by one municipality that was beginning to consolidate his work around beneficiation. These are the aspects that the opinions that you said we should be looking at. What we can say is that in general terms is that all provinces in as far as we are concerned are now on board. Their plans are very credible, and their plans are very credible, and they are beginning now to, we're beginning to see an alignment between their budget and the projects, and they're able to separate those that they cannot be able to fund. And we began to see a national department beginning to align with them. Our MINMEC has actually also come in, which is a joint MINMEC between ourselves, the DGI, and the small business, has begun to also identify those things that at a national level we need to continuously have a direct relationship with provinces. That includes your SEZ, your infrastructure, and just other areas of collaboration. So the slide that is there now, slide number 4, is just indicating the current, the nature in which we enter and interact with the provinces. Initially, in our initial, before the May 2016, we had reported here that our major focus from 2014 up to then was to ensure that there's discipline in provinces and a special focus in terms of the, what the national frameworks want us to do and linkages with them. And here we're beginning now to go into specific areas where provinces want us to support them, and we come in and support. That's why if you look at these tables, you find that they'll talk about different issues in different areas. It's because of the areas that their provinces or local or localities will say, can you assist us on this one? Don't understand. We understand. Can you give us more and assist us to actually go through this? We may later on also speak just to other specific details. So it's the same as with all these ones that I go on. In the province of KZN, where we said we would enter with our on erythropoietin. Erythropoietin is for those it's about projects where you take an advantage of an airport, and then you develop some industrial value chain in relation to that particular province. So two provinces that have anchored on that currently is the Gauteng and KZN. And in Gauteng is in Ekurhuleni, and here KZN is around the Kinshasa airport. So there, the province have been doing a lot of work, and we haven't yet gone to practically assess the work that they've been doing. But according to the report that they have, there's a lot of work that they're doing. They're having new development settlement, industrial planning around it, and there are a lot of things that they are doing. We were supposed to have visited the province and look at this. And these industries that are already there, the Deputy Minister of EDD, Deputy Minister of DGI, Deputy Minister of Telecommunication and Post and Telecommunication, we're supposed to have visited them, and we kept on, it was like postponed because of logistical reasons, but we're still going there to go and evaluate what is there, and wanted to look specifically, zoom into electronics. What are the electronics that are there, TV and the cell phone making, and look at that and see what are the other components that we think, and check if the province is looking at the other value chain components that are actually done. So we haven't, we're still going to go into that to look at them. Other things that we have worked, well, that we have looked at, is the, like I said, is the asset. management of the KZN Department of Economic Development and Alignment, which we said we are happy with that. And there are also other work that we actually look in terms of, because the province indicated that it had a weakness on understanding how do you want to implement the Black Industrialist Program. So we assisted and held a workshop and draw in all the participants that are there, your IDC, and to actually look at how it works and clarify the country. But we are happy that after that workshop, the province actually came back with a feedback in the different planning forums, and they said, we are not happy with the 2-year requirement of a company to be able to qualify into the Black Industrialist. We would be happy if we reduce it maybe to 1 year or even earlier than that. But it will be difficult probably to bring it earlier than that because we need financials to be able to determine whether the company, what is the nature of the company. But DTI is looking at that. In Limpopo, we visited the Rembe agri-park there as just as a reflection on it to say what would be a very ideal agri-park, and when we go to the others to assess them, what is it that we can actually advise on. What you find out there is that and I see this slide, you put an old slide as a detail that I'm going to talk to. What we find out there is that space is targeting 240 beneficiary farmers in a rural area. And when we arrived there, 160 was in place and it was operational. All other out of the jobs fund and also with the intervention of different departments, your small business and also the province, they have provided necessary equipment to be able to fund enough equipment that they had. They also have put in enough irrigation system. Their cold storage was actually in an advanced, and the pack house was actually at an advanced stage. It's huge pack house. But in the meantime, while all of these other supporting things were going, because 160 were already plowing, were already involved in the project. They were producing food for locals, and also they were also beginning to sell to the external provinces like Gauteng. And the small business department actually assisted by giving them one truck, and they said we're going to give them another truck as the production goes and to carry the fresh produce in the morning. And what they do, they carry the fresh produce in the morning into the Gauteng market and come back, and again the following day, so it becomes a routine. What they pointed out as a challenge that they might be having, because as they go towards 240, it means that they have got to expand the operation. What they pointed us to, which they said must carry out, which we have already carried to the different departments, is that they need now that extra truck because the volumes are bigger. So we have followed it up with the small business, I followed it up with the minister. We'll check with them if it has been given. And the other thing that they actually raised was that they need the augmentation of water from the Limpopo River, because the source of their water won't be enough for the future expansion. So we also interacted with the Department of Water, and are following those up. Also related to this, we also did, as you will see, a workshop just on the berry chains in that particular district. And we have left the university and the municipality to work on how they can do the proper integration so that the people can be assisted there in order to channel the value chain of agriculture into the market, and also to direct our support as government. Because when we are analyzing, we find that the kind of support that we're giving was fragmented. The province is doing something there, and it's not doing something there. You know, and we and the municipality is doing something in that space. So we said that they must do that. And the university also said that they want to come in also on further research on the issue, the things. They will be happy to assist on further research on, around the agricultural project and new technologies that can be implemented. One of the research that they have done was on chickpea. And we had gone there to launch the product, and the farms are now like they are experimenting it on their farms. And what is good about the chickpea is that it doesn't need to require a lot of water, so it looks like a better crop that will come out there, and has got a market. In Mpumalanga, we had said that we'll go to Middelburg. Into a Middelburg steel beneficiation, and we are going to look at the incubation that has been planned there. What is it that has gone wrong? What makes it stuck? What we find out is that what has happened thus far is that the municipality has provided land for that development, and the mobilization of the private sector has come in, and the pledge is now at 60 million. And the private sector is saying to us, can we have a rent on rent? We'll release this, but can we have a rent on rent for this development? So we're following up that rent on rent on 60 million. So we've got 60, when we've got 60 million, can we put another 60 million so that we can make this project a success? But in terms of people who are participating, they are already there. There are a number of beneficiaries that are actually already incubating, and some of them have been there for a longer period. What they want, because they do windows, they do all sorts of metal fabrication, and what they want is now a precinct of their own that will be bigger and then allow them to do what they're supposed to do. So this incubation is the next exit that we're discussing, that the discussion is on. Additional to that is that there are other projects that we have, we are working with them on the fly ash project, the youth that has got all the benefits. The youth want to do bricks out of ash, and they also want to do ceilings and now tiles. And we have also taken them to China on account of a firm that does a similar kind of things for them to see what it is going to be. When they came back, they said, no, Deputy Minister, we have put in a deadline, and this deadline we don't think it's okay, because it looks like they've got to do some number of jobs, some number of things in there. And they are busy with that. So they said, in the meantime, what they would like to do, they were asking us, can they be allowed, because we are more of wanting to substitute imports, can they be allowed to import a number of those products to introduce the market so that people can have demand on that particular market? And if they do so, then they will start substituting by production at the local level. We also assisted them with the work on, because they have got to do environmental impact, and the department is assisting them. Eskom and other companies have already committed to give them the ash. So we think that is something that is going to be going. The key now that they are remaining with is the outcome of the environmental assessment and the framework that they are going to give them, and the SAB has stipulations on what the product should be having inside it, which is dependent also on the environmental side. We hope that they are going to be moving faster in there. We do work with them on something, but that municipality is actually strong. We think it's stronger, and it has got a proper, you know, like LED framework. So the same one that we have probably in George, you know, so in Cape Town, here, and also a little bit in Stellenbosch. we think that those we could be able to I mean they are moving actually faster. One of the other things that we have assisted them is to engage industry. They were giving us a feedback that they is probably a likelihood of an investor that want to come in, also on the same area of beneficiation, where they are looking at when they are looking at issues around, they are looking at a catalytic converter plant in that area. There are other projects that they are packaging, and one interesting one is on the rabbits. I don't know if you remember, rabbit meat is becoming very popular because it's the most healthier, even in all the range of the food that is there. Rabbit food is the best, it's even better than chicken. So it's they have identified that the market is wide in the nationally. So they have already started. We have already started with the development agency there. A project that is initiated, and we think it's going to influence the production in the national level. So these are the things that we have done with them there. In Gauteng, the implementation, we promised that on the township economy, the implementation of the township economy is going very well, and they're managing it. They've got the capacity to do that. They also added issues around the automobile and how automobile value chain can be able to assist them in the township economy transformation. We are also working on with an insurance company, and this insurance company we have identified at the start there, because the big thing around this is going to be all over the province. I'm having a meeting tomorrow with the CEO, and on Thursday with the CEO who's here, and in that project, they want to take the body repairs in the different townships and train them and lead them into a particular level where they can be accredited by insurance to do work even there. And also they want to also look at the various products like your car that were dispossessed, and that they not be repaired and then be auctioned or put in dealership, and they are looking at that chain to get those also dealerships into, because I don't know if the members have realized that in townships we don't have dealerships. We don't have dealerships in townships. They're not so they want to make an intervention in that in that with that project. We want to get an intervention to come in and help dealership to auctioneers, a very few black auctioneers. So they want to also intervene into that. So those are the things that that project is actually bringing in. We are also working on the, we have worked with the youth chamber. There's something that we reported on earlier on about how they, on the spousal shop, we look at that model. We got disturbed a little bit because of change in management in Tshwane. We're still negotiating in Tshwane. But already we have taken that model that we have studied in Mamelodi, and we have given it to young people in the National Youth Chamber, which are trying it in all different provinces. They've already rolled it out in, they are beginning to roll it out in Mpumalanga. They're also doing the franchising with different boats, just like your galitos, to come up with a small galitos containers in different areas. So they are working more other issues in the different provinces. We have assisted them also to, we are now assisting them also to resuscitate their structures in the different provinces, because some of them were not active when they concluded with the Northern
Cape. I think we need to be at least by 12:30.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. In the Eastern Cape, I'll just go through those ones quickly. In the Eastern Cape, on the Eastern Cape, we've worked with it, it has identified, yes, anchored its economic development on boat building and marine and oil and gas and just put in some working groups. And as you would have seen in the media, beginning to give fruit, there's a lot of investments coming in, investors coming in from the East and China and the West. In the Free State, on the issue or on the issue that we said we'll do is beef and poultry, and I see that we didn't comment on it. We left at that on the beef and the poultry. We didn't do much work here because as we're entering into, we wanted to do that. There was already work that is being done by agriculture and DTI on poultry and beef across. And it was arising out of other comments that we have done in Mpumalanga and the Limpopo. So they have done a comprehensive work, and there's going to be an intervention that is going to come very soon for both agriculture and then the redistribution that is going to enter into this space, which they are going to announce very soon. In the Western Cape, on your issues of blue economy, the progress is actually going on. We've done a number of interventions, a series of interventions, including issues of oil storage and new companies that are actually coming in using the competition to be able to assist them to get them to do the right thing that is required by the competition. In the Northwest, I must say that in the Northwest we haven't done enough that we'll feel very confident on the small dot development. Even though officials at an official level, there's a lot of work that is being done by officials in relation to that. But we will treat it as work in progress because we haven't reached that level where we can speak with confidence to say 1, 2, 3 is going to happen and think the following phases are left. In the Northern Cape. There is some work that a number of work that are dealing with them. They have had now we had a summit that was there that was discussing all the different initiatives. We have interacted with different sectors from agriculture value chain and from to mineral value chain. We are assisting different initiatives. They are women and young people who are in agriculture that want to that had blockages. Remember, some of them had problem with leases, state leases, and what we did was to go and look at the different state leases in different provinces, and we realized that there was a problem. So we then had to facilitate that and assist the department now of rural development is now putting that as a subject, and I see they have already started issuing leases, and we'll be just be following up with those. We also have intervened on the ones on diamonds. DTI is coming in there, interacting with them, because they were saying that they need certain things to be done to allow them to be able to move from incubation and into export. And there were certain limitations that was regarding trade, and it was more expensive, and there was a lot of limitations to that, and there's an agency that is beginning to assist them. On finances, remember we said we must link finances. I must first say that all the projects that have been done in provinces, what is interesting is that when we go into national forums, we're beginning to see them coming up in different departments and their linkage, and there's a lot of debate on how they can complement and augment that province in terms of them moving forward. We're beginning to see that, and we're happy with that. The IGC and CIFA, they're beginning to also think that we're still supposed to do more work, because sometimes they target and the target is not met, and they just be so big. We're trying to see what is it that we can assist them and assist them and assist them on how. I'm actually going to write a model that I'm going to present to cabinet to say how can we actually assist the initiative in at local level and province in a way that assists them to grow, just right from the grant level to microfinancing and into macrofinancing. Because sometimes we confuse these things and they create a problem. This map is just showing how many, where is what the IDC has done where. And so it's infrastructure, and I'm not going to go into the details on that. On the youth, those the details are there. I won't go into them. But safe to say that we have established a new relationship with the National Youth Chamber of Commerce, and we think through them, if we assist the young people to start and to actually concretize themselves, they can be able to reach out on the young entrepreneurs, and at one center we can be able, we're beginning to know, this young person has got this problem and that problem, how can we take them out? And we have been spending so much time since 2016 to give in the values. This is not a political structure, it's a business structure, economic chairman structure. So don't say if I come from the ANC and you want them to identify everybody that must be in a structure as the ANC. You come from EFF, don't come in and throw stones to me, because now you are bringing in the, tell me what you want to do entrepreneurial, and then we assist you to go through it. So those are the values that you wanted to bring into that. So we have done a lot of work in that. We also reviewed the Youth Development Accord, and there are various things that we have actually identified. We also do some work with the TVETs, in order to link things. I'm going to Bombela again to Mpumalanga on Friday to meet with all the stakeholders, business and achievers, because they are stuck. They haven't moved. They moved halfway, and they get stuck there. And we say, we have got you have indicated a bigger plan in your project plan. So those the map. Speak for itself in terms of employment, and because we're now talking to the impact and the intervention of IDC on youth and those things. What is the impact? That's what you said we must talk about. This is where we are at the current moment from 2016. These are the employment figures that are showing in this table, where we're showing that the people in the working age in South Africa are 37.8 million, and we've got 17.6 are old, and 20.2 are young people, and that statistics show us how that workforce is actually distributed in our community, and this is what we are actually working on as government to address. But what will be more interesting is what is happening in our different provinces. We have seen, I think members will remember that we worried about Northwest then. We also worried about the Free State then, and we were worried about the Eastern Cape. And other provinces kind of were showing us a growth in employment. Now we see a trend that is coming out that is beginning to say, no, we were comfortable when Limpopo was leading, yes, it's leading in terms of employment creation, but there is now, we're beginning to see a reduction in the employment figures. But we hope that the Musina SEZ is going to trick it up, and they, some of the work that we want to do in the Palale, and so it is going to actually take it up again. We are hoping that it will do so. These other ones are just comments on the distribution. I won't go to them. So finally, we are saying we are saying to the committee, significant progress has been made in relation to integration of work across spheres of government, and we are saying that concrete plans are in place to clearly identify economic areas and sectors in our different provinces. Government is also beginning at the national level to link the budget to plans. National governments are using local plans and provincial plans now to influence their priorities. And as EDD, we're beginning to identify special projects that are influencing now. We have come in and said, we think that if we change your lease, you provide people with a longer period lease, we can make a lot of work because people will not need much of your grant. They can borrow their money. It's adopted and, I mean, it's agreed, and people are moving up with it at the national level. And we have identified and said beef is becoming an issue. It has got a market. Can you focus on that? And we see agriculture and land, they're beginning to focus on that in terms of their budgeting. We have said spatial planning is very important. Is important. And we participated also in the integrated urban development forum initiative, and we are, and there are things that are going on there, and they are also influencing capacity that might be built in different areas, and they are LED. We are happy that we with the kind of direction that it's not so fast. But we think that it will gain traction and will allow those who are coming in the second term, it will actually take traction more and it to move on to take us where we are. Our participation in the IUTC, IMC, different IMC interministerial committees on economy and other government wide planning and coordinating is actually beginning to bear fruit and we appreciate. Thanks.
Thank you, DM. Thank you very much for this presentation. Members, now if you have questions, go with the deputy. Start with Honorable Engelbert.
Chairperson, thank you, and Deputy Minister, thank you very much for this very intensive report back, which is much appreciated. I'd just like a clarification from you. One of the undertakings was to ensure unblocking constraints to the economic development and unblocking funding for economic development programs. It appears that you have unblocked the funding constraints, but I'd like to find out from you what, in your opinion, were the biggest economic constraints that you found and what did you then specifically do? And I do realize it does differ from industry to industry, but in general terms, what was the biggest issue? And what did you do to reduce those constraints? Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much. On this map here, my question would be, what's the type of these jobs here? Because I'm not able to find a correlation between the money, the number of businesses, and the job created. Some provinces have got more money, fewer businesses, fewer jobs. Others have got less money, more businesses, more jobs. So, what is the type of the jobs we're talking about here? And why do we not see the correlation that if I have more jobs and more businesses, then more people will be employed? Just look at Mpumalanga and Limpopo. 700 and something million for Mpumalanga, 11 businesses, 222 jobs. In Limpopo, you got 10 businesses, 493 jobs, How do we explain the discrepancy? Thank you. You could extrapolate my argument to the other provinces. So, thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mukwili.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks for the presentation, Deputy Minister. You went an extra mile. We appreciate that. But that on its own doesn't mean whatever that is presented, it's convincing. It's a work in progress. It's a work in progress. It's not convincing. Part of my question is based on what Honorable Dr. Mateme has alluded, that I don't know, it's like where you speak about how much have you allocated for provinces. Can we go to those slides? I picked up Rustenburg somewhere there. No, not that one. Go again in a format, in a template format. Let me just go. My apologies, this slide. They are not slide number 15. Yeah, slide number 15. If you look, I don't know how to read numbers. Maybe I'm like some other guy somewhere who can't read numbers. But here, it says Northwest, for instance, 225 million. Jobs, 370. 2015-2016, and then it goes to 2016-2017, 103 million. Eberi, 323 jobs. And then we go to KwaZulu-Natal. Is that amount 2.4 million? Or is something else? Is billion, so you miss the typo there. That's how you write numbers, so that it can all be million. Also, it's a billion. It's 2.4 billion. That's what we are saying. I'm not convinced, but it's fine. Maybe if that's how you write, it's okay. But a lay person cannot understand that. It needs to be in such a way that a lay person can understand, like myself. Because my question was based on that, to say how do you then explain these discrepancies where you had 500, 300 million and that. And again, going to slide number 15, number 16. I see there you assisted in a project, some projects, especially in my province of the Bokoni Bophirima, and you alluded that much was not done in that province. Now, my question is, after giving provinces monies and departments, do you have a monitoring tool where you say, this is what we have invested, this is where the project is? Because according to my understanding, that project has messed the town of Rustenburg. There's nothing happening there. The project has collapsed on its own. And that thing called the small dwarfies villages and what. I'm happy that you mentioned in your presentation, Deputy Minister, that people becomes political in awarding
jobs or projects to political parties. That project that you have funded of small dorpies and what of Supra Mahuma Pelo, that is a scheme that was used to loot money. It's not alleged, I'm telling you. I'm telling you what I know. I'm from that province. You'll respond to Mpumalanga. I'm telling you what I know, that scheme was used to loot money. And the looting of money from that scheme was precisely for a particular grouping within the ruling party. Now, it goes again to say, after we have invested public funds into projects, what then comes in terms of the monitoring? And the project, must I just come with a project to the department and say, look, this is the project, this is the business idea that I have, This is my business plan, and then you fund without doing a scientific research on a business, whether it will yield some results or not. Last question is that those programs that you spoke about, Deputy Minister, of interacting with TVET colleges. In my province, in my hometown, there is a program run by SASOL. There is a program run by BMW. There is a program run by Ford. But those programs, our local people don't benefit. These companies will come with their own people. Then I want to check when you interact with the TVs and those companies. How do you as a department making sure that the local people do benefit in that? Because I think when you interact, definitely, there is something that you provide for the companies to make sure that they leave the legacy and they develop the local people. And also, I will appeal to you, move out of Mpumalanga. Come to other provinces. According to what I'm seeing there, that you are too much involved in Mpumalanga. If you can maybe move out, Mpumalanga, it's established, it's fine, it's established. So move to our provinces so that we can benefit.
Can the bank do the very same, go with the criteria that
because I am from 2009 with the MPLC legislator in a software, and it works for us because we teach our children in university. Mine is a teacher now with a software now. It's working for us. Every January I go take the money and pay university. It's working for me. But now, what the criteria that are facing me? The other banks are not using. Because we wanted to move away and see what other banks do. We intended to come back again and tell what was happening.
Thank you.
I know some years back, Stockfels came together and established their own bank. I don't know what happened to that bank. I remember it ended up being incorporated into what was known as People's Bank, and later it was taken over by NetBank. But I think there may be economic reasons of the time. Maybe there have been economic reasons of the time, but I think from where I'm sitting, that can be pursued again.
Up to there, over to you. I think you read all those questions, and I'm not going to allow any other questions.
You must support
our thanks, Chair. Thanks, Chair. Honorable Mukwele, I implement what you yourself and your colleagues have decided must happen.
Yeah.
I don't decide. Okay, no, I'm joking. On the unblocking of economic constraints, I think you realize that they have been defined. It's issues that financiers are worried and also economists are worried of issues around whether there's certainty in policy and issues around corporate governance and issues around corruption. And I think you should have realized that the president has set up a committee to deal with business issues that deals with business confidence, and they are interacting with various investors inside and outside. At the same time, you would have heard the Minister of Corporate Governance beginning to say, we are in there, we're interacting with the municipalities, we're looking good at good practices, we're addressing issues of red tapes, we're addressing issues within issues of corruption, and we're strengthening our corporate governance at local level and also planning at that level within the premise of your back to basics. And that discussion has actually developed to a level where we, even at the national level, he has begun now to mobilize the cabinet to be able to take us and start grouping ourselves according to how we should actually enter and assist local government, not in a scattered manner, but in a very focused manner, and identify key things that we might need to deal with, which relate to your electricity supply, your water supply, and everything, and also other issues that we are beginning to look at now, which are affecting economic development constraints, where administered prices were beginning to debate us to say, is Eskom actually charging correctly? Is our export authority charging correctly? That are not constraining our movement of goods? What are these laws that might be creating a problem in that? And this work that is actually going on and probably very soon is going to be addressed. There are two important events that are coming now in October. One is a job summit, the other one is an investment conference. And those two, they are committees that are working on that currently. and they're working up to even up to a local level to identify what are these critical things they must do. They're interacting with the industry to say collectively as a country, as patriots, what is it that we need to do to get ourselves out of this. So they are even identifying bigger projects that can be funded by private, can be funded by public sector, and also the ones that might have joined. So when we go into the investment, when it comes out, the expectation is that we'll be having a blueprint that will say, we as South Africans, not we as government, we as South Africans, this is where we're going to go. And we believe that that is what is going to deal with the issues of our economic constraints and deal, and at the same time within ourselves dealing with issues of behavioral issues. Honorable Mugwili went to details of what their observations are, where and so on. And you would have realized that, we are there in that focus that are talking about this intervention. Minister Dlamini Zuma is there and is working on all these aspects and trying to identify what they are. The different the difference between allocation of funds and the projects and the employment is we have just done a glance through what might be contributing in that. One of the issues that we have identified, and we'll hear very soon, maybe in government sooner announcement that might be coming, might be giving you the idea of what is actually there. But beginning to say, what are these areas that we are spending our money on that give us more traction? These areas that we are not putting our money on, which are giving more traction, and are spending maybe on those that are not giving us more traction on them. So the kind of discussion that we are having, I'm likely going to tell you very soon that more money will be going to agriculture in terms of value chains, because the value chains give you bigger volumes. And more money will be going to your small business development and local industries, because those give you bigger volumes. And they'll be looking at more of shifting of incentives or creating more towards those areas than saying the ones that the major ones that we're actually doing now is on your motor industry. So the motor industry, if you look at how much you put in there and you look at how much you put in agriculture, there is a disparity. Yet the motor industry gives you less. But if you look at also your motor industry as an anchor too, it's also the fact that we're looking at this big thing and we leave it, and we don't look at the breaking down of that into a household industry and an industry in a locality that benefits from the bigger. And it's those things that we want to look at. Tourism will also be becoming even more because of its volumes of numbers. So it depends. Those are the issues that have made our DFIs to find ourselves in. The other one that influenced that is it's development in technology. Young people now, the more innovative, I think it's also because of our deliberate push to our DFIs to begin to focus on initiative by young people. So young people come up with startups, and most of them, they are very technological advanced. So they give you more traction, they give you more money, they give them more money, but the people who are participating there are smaller. The other thing that we are looking at is that these supporting industries that are making this technology to work, where are they? You see, because if they move out of the factory itself, they must be moving there. And that's the reason why, I think we must have heard the president talking about him meeting with the CEO and the chairperson of Alibaba, saying that he was influencing him to come. He's going to come and establish some of the things, those technologies, inside the country rather than them depending and buying it. So it's those things that we're trying to look at so that they don't influence, they actually influence the outcome of the investment. Issues of monitoring, as you do, the monitoring on this one, DFIs are sharp, very sharp, they are business orientated, they focus on that, and we in other programs like your infrastructure in government, government-wide, we've already like lifted up, you know, you've got PICC performing different, say, IMCs to look at the various areas. Yes, government-wide, we are beginning to watch the DPME to actually intensify its monitoring. And it has already started. Northwest is a pilot. One of the pilots will want to look at what the DPME is going to do in terms of monitoring of government worldwide. So that those are the reasons. Honorable Mukherjee, yes, it is the same issue that I was raising in terms of the funding, why we have got, if you look at the areas where the monies are bigger, it's a huge project, it's mining, it's a big manufacturing and motor industry, and you go to the Eastern Cape, we have the same thing, we have done the same thing. And in the other provinces, because of the nature of the project that they are applying for, you see that the money is less. While it's bigger, it is giving you small numbers. It's relating to the fact that you are giving more to startups in your projection. The monitoring of looting, I did indicate that the presidents have already started intensifying its monitoring, and Minister Dlamini Zuma's work that is doing in the different. The TVET, our major focus there is to get the industry to know that TVET are community colleges, and they are their own colleges, because they are the production of capacity that's supposed to assist them. So they have to influence the content and the value chain, even current and future, even in terms of research. So that's why we want them not only just to participate and so on, no, participate and influence the chain on the things that you want to have into your future. So we don't want to hear a situation like your company is there in the Northwest, waking up in the morning and say, we are going to retrain 15,000 people because you are now thinking of a new technology. You should have infused that within the capacity building, the human resource development, so that when you announce that these ones that are moving from here, they then enter into your new other industries in terms of the new areas that you are going to, what value chains are they having there you can channel the other employments to. So we're beginning to say that the industry must do that. So they must influence curriculum, they must allow exposure of educators into the industry, they must allow exposure of students into the industry, they must provide resources to bring in new technology that they are using there. For instance, I'm going to say ESCO. You know that the distributors have changed, but what you have in the TV is old. So you need to, and they are beginning to come in now, ESCOM is actually coming in to assist in terms of coming in and bringing in new equipment that assist you to do that. So it's those kind of things that we want the industry to do. But in relation to their CSIs, it's more of their procurement processes that they use, but this is what we do. We have agreed, and there's a policy on that, on supplier development programs. We insist on them and work with it, even with young people, and say, go there, go hear what they say,
come in with your innovation, identify areas so that we can use them as a case. So we walked in and we said, here, why do you buy this board in Joburg while we're in Cape Town when there is a group of young people that have been trained in this and they're doing well? And we say, no, we don't have our quality. They say, no, but the quality is influenced by you. So why don't we come in with a supplier development program? So we have seen that those kind of things are coming in. The industry in the beginning, they kind of, but now they are beginning to enjoy the number, and the number of them are beginning to enjoy that. On the stock fairs. The stock fairs, why we went there, the area that we went to is Osangi. Yes, it's Osangi. So we went into that area. Just to, we're going on a spaza shop. We're actually invited by these young people, to say to us, this is what we see. So we went there to look at the spaza shops, which were closing. See, what is the effect? We identified two things. There are most coming in location, and they do the analysis of the performance of the spaza shop, and they make business in relation to what the spaza shop do in terms of their sales, and in, also in terms of the money they make, because they then determine that the banks will work out here and actually start money they make business. So they put in a mall, and then it influences the spaza development. Then we then have foreign nationals coming in, and they rent, and they bring in the prices down, and everybody closes down, and they take, and they just come in and develop another spaza shop in a corner, drop drastically the prices, and you move out. So we realize that we call it predatory pricing. It's in the competition, it's not allowed. So they do that, and then. So what we picked up was also some resemblance of an economy that was resilient. Even those that even spaza shop that we owned by that team was like resilient. And we realized, oh, it was owned by members of the stock fair. And we wanted to identify what is it that they were doing. So we realized that they link their stock fairs to the business. And the business is very focused also. It also has to do with what the intention of the money was for when they collect it. So if it's for, and it's also for, if they have got school, say, feeding, if they do, they've got children, they've got money, they've got children, and young children that are receiving grants, and they want to maximize them. So they take that money, put it in a stock fair, they invest it into these systems where they create money, and then at the end of the year, out of the profit that they've done, they buy groceries that will last you for a particular period, each budget for each beneficiary. So it was quite interesting. So we had a distributor that was supposed to distribute for young people. So when they came and said, what are you doing in relation to stuff? So the stock first said, no, we're getting it from them. Then they identify the constraints. They say, distributors who are distributing, when the bigger shops like Pick n Pay and so on come in, they give them a bigger discount for the same volumes that they buy, but they don't do it on their side. So when they were going to this specific distributor to interact with, and then they then agree that no, we are going to adopt that. We are going to treat you as business. But one interesting thing that we pick up there, and I was asking them, where do you take your money to when you have got it? They said, sorry, we can't tell you. Only thing we can tell you, we are doing well. But we can't tell you the details. I said, why? He said, we don't trust you.
Because you come and discuss with us, and you go and write your research, and you get, you become doctors, and then you come and insult us. One, and two, you go and do research on the issues, and you go and start your family business, your own stock first, and you kill our own, and you don't assist us to do that as government officials. So we won't tell you, but there's something that we're doing. We're doing very well. So it relates to that. But I think Honorable Ntumunye, especially hit the nail on the head. Yes, we will be looking at this and check what other banks are doing. But we are more inclined to seeing if this money cannot circulate within themselves. So the issues of corporate banks is in the center of the discussion we've been identifying. Looking at that, there's a young woman that is now, they are going to have a bank now. They're going to open their bank now. They were part of our system, Google because we're having continuous interaction with them. So they will be having that, and there are also other cooperative banks coming in, and it's something that we can explore to be able to assist them. Also, those that we had in the KZN, we have discussed that idea that they must look at it. And they said, yeah, we have looked at it and we're busy. We'll tell you at the advanced stage. So I'm going to go back to them. There are many. Because just on that day, we had, there were like 1,000. 1,000 not individuals, but 1,000 different stocks representing so many numbers.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Thank you very much. I'm moving out of Mpumalanga. No,
she's right. She's right in a way. Because you know the reason why we find ourselves there like that is because the youth chamber had a strong body there. The next one was in the KZN, and the other one now, the stronger one, was in Gauteng, and then now the one in the Northern Cape, just watch it, is going to have a lot more. Because we want to support, we are talking about supporting the effort. We don't want to hold them and give, we want them to say, we are holding you, help us here. So that's what we're trying to do at the capacity. So we'll see. You'll see others coming. You see. We actually spend more time in Lubombo, by the way. The others, it's just supporting the capacity they have there. And Lubombo is going to give you some traction very soon.
Thank you, David Minister. Thank you for availing yourself to this committee and giving a chance. Members, thank you.